All right, both Ireland and Slee are in Denver getting ready for game one.
Yeah, we got this thing covered, don't we?
We've got it covered. You and I are the only two people in the building today.
Yeah, it's just an empty room. But it'll be great.
You can explore the studio space like Christopher Walken in the Moore Cowboy.
So nobody else showed up for work?
No. In fact, well, Shadano is in Denver. I guess we're talking about just the on-air people. Shadano's in Denver, so he's not going to be here. Cappy's going to be in South L.A., so he's not going to be here. So it's going to be Travis is handing the keys off to me, and technically I will be in charge. And you
lock the door when you leave.
At 2:30, we're calling it super, super mega playoff crosstalk.
Okay.
Two supers.
Two supers, one mega.
Two supers, one mega, exactly. Perfect. Ireland, what's going on there in Denver?
I wish the game was today. I mean, I wish I didn't have to wait till tonight. I'm anxious to get it going because we normally don't come in until the day before. We've been here since Sunday.
Right.
So let's go.
Why did they do that, by the way?
Altitude.
Oh, okay, right. To get in there to adjust to the altitude.
Are you huffing and puffing moving around town?
Nope.
Celine, what about you? Are you huffing and puffing?
Yeah, I mean, I was fine the first 2 hours, but this third hour, I just out of breath.
I can hear you really slowed down. You're breathing heavy. Exactly.
I'm breathing hard. By the way, John, thank you. I got in late last night. John, I'm bunking with John. We got two bunk beds here just to save a little money for the company. So we're together right now.
And we have one of those inflatable mattresses. Yeah, we're going to alternate.
Those are comfortable.
Those are the worst.
Yeah, they're very, very – I have one of those.
An air mattress?
Yeah, an air mattress.
Oh, never, ever again.
First off, the air is always out by 3 a.m.
Oh, yeah, no, you're definitely sinking
well,
right away.
This may be a Travis-specific problem.
Yeah.
That an air mattress does not seem to stay inflated particularly long.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, that can happen. That can happen.
Trav, don't even inflate yours. Just keep it the way it is.
Why bother? It's deflated by 2 a.m. I'm down. My elbow is buried into the floor anyway.
So you don't eat barbecue. You're not a barbecue
fan.
No.
It's not that I don't eat it. It's just not one of those things, I got to find myself some barbecue. It's not at the top of my list.
I love some barbecue.
I will say there are a lot of people saying, Hovick said, man of the people must love barbecuing.
That's true. By the way, the campaign has been – tell me how the campaign got launched. Travis Rogers for Man of the People at the Mandy Awards. By the way, you've got my vote. You've earned
my
vote.
Yeah. I appreciate it, Mace.
Just to give some background to it, Mace, so we when did we all get together? Was that 2 weeks ago? We all flew to Phoenix together just to kind of game plan.
Strategy session?
Yeah, we did a strategy session.
Nice.
At the convention center there in Phoenix.
Oh, you had a convention center for the strategy session.
Yeah,
excellent.
Good Karma was really nice to
Good Karma
rent out
ran
that
this
room for
strategy
us.
Yeah. Session. Interesting, yeah.
And we came up with, if there's a way.
By the way, I'm so proud of you. You've learned how to just make up BS like the rest of us. Very good. Continue.
So we decided if there's a way that we don't even run the campaign, just people tweet stories of a time that they randomly ran into Travis and they tell kind of a man of the people story.
Oh, that is so
and it's
good.
Just taken off from there. Trav saving a cat in a tree.
Right.
There's just all these different stories.
Well, he actually helped me change a tire on the 10. Hashtag man of the people.
I didn't want to bring it up, but I'm glad that you were able to remember.
I was unbelievably grateful. Yep. John, can you think of anybody better at the station to be man of the people than Travis Rogers?
I'm surprised that you're giving that up.
Oh, no, man of the I can't be man of the people.
Do I have your vote,
I have to
John?
Win all those other ones.
I haven't voted. But if I vote, I will vote for you, sure.
Definitely. Well, why would you not vote? Why would you? You've got to vote.
Look, I'm requesting that you vote for me.
You've got to vote. Yeah, you got to vote for him. You got to vote for Jorge for Associate Producer of the Year. You got to vote for me for the rest of the stuff.
We'll see.
And Show of the Year.
Right.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Mace, there was a time where I was having an issue with Spirit Airlines.
Yes, I do recall.
And Trav picked up the phone and called them. Next thing I know, $84 into
my account. Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, I was going to refund it one way or the other. I just didn't want him to be
without. That is crazy that you are. Yeah.
Scratch him a check for $84.
You really are man of the people.
Yeah. I'm highly relatable to all people.
You are. You're just places. You're like regular Joe guy.
That's my deal.
Regular
who
Joe guy.
Refuses to speak to his neighbors.
Yeah.
You know, today is National Do Something Nice for Your Neighbor Day.
Yeah, no, that's really not participating.
Yeah, that's
it really
happening.
Is. Mom, I'm going to do the same wonderful thing I do for my neighbors every day. I'm going to park my car. I'm going to wave at whoever might be out in front of their house. And I'm going to walk straight inside and get ready
say
for the next day.
Yeah, I mean, that actually hurts your case a little bit.
No, look, I don't know if I'm getting my neighbors on
your
side.
You're man mode. Of the people, but not man of the neighborhood.
Not man of my street.
Yes.
I am two streets over. I'll chat your ear off all day long. The rest of it. You're Team Bellini.
Bellinis are great.
They are good.
Yeah. They were talking about, John, they were talking about, it's National Mimosa Day, I think, right? And mimosas are, I like the way M described it. It's like, they're like beers for.
It's like the light beer of brunch.
It's the light beer of brunch, which is a great way to describe. But I like the Bellinis are good.
Am I missing out? I've never had
puree.
One.
The peach puree and the champagne.
Those are very, very good. But why can you not order a Bellini, a mimosa, anywhere other than with your breakfast or lunch? Like, you've never gone to get a dinner and said, all
I'll
right,
have the Bellini.
I'll have a Bellini to go with that. Can we start you with
fish.
A cocktail
soup? I want a Bellini like with a my Bellini. Fish.
Yes. Why do we do that?
Yeah, it's a very good question. It just feels breakfasty. It feels brunchy.
John, you strike me as a mimosa guy.
I haven't had one in a while. My problem is I've worked 7 days a week for like 3 months, so I don't know when I would have one. Because you can only drink them during the day, right? They're not really a night.
Go have six of them tomorrow morning.
No, it's a morning. It's a brunch thing. I think.
Right. Trev, I could, but then I'd go on the air drunk at 1 o'clock.
Oh, yeah, I forget. Yeah, you got your
mimosas afternoon are inappropriate.
Well, they're hangover fuel too. There's nothing that
champagne
is. It's like
up
double
on you.
Sugar. It's the sugar of the champagne. It's the sugar of the orange juice.
Yep.
And before you've even finished the drink, you're like, yeah, that was a huge mistake.
Yeah.
That's why I got to have a second one.
Ireland. Now, did you go out and have a whiskey sour last night, John?
I had three of them.
Nice.
Well, very nice.
Very nice.
See, but why not three Bellinis?
So you don't.
Night?
And by the way, John, I like the thing from a whiskey sour that you don't like. Like, I like the old
the
school
egg.
Whiskey sour with the egg, with that creamy egg on top.
And no ice.
So good. And the, yeah, exactly.
Are you egg free whiskey sour?
Egg free rocks glass with ice. Okay. And if you want to leave out the sour, I wouldn't really care.
So why do you get a whiskey sour? Why not just get a whiskey on the rocks?
I do sometimes.
Yeah. I'm getting my usual tonight, which is
drone.
So, no, I'm going to be
a
little
drone. That's such a good word.
Yeah, I'm going to be a little drone. But I do get a cocktail on game night, and I watch the first half in a bar. So I'll do that tonight.
What's the drink?
The drink is a blood orange margarita with Dos Hombres Mezcal instead of tequila.
That sounds quite good.
Really, really nice. You've got the sweetness, you got the smokiness. I sound like Travis Rogers. The sweetness and the smokiness and that's the kind of thing I'm used to you saying.
Good job. So when we weren't talking about cocktails and sweetness and smokiness, this does not help my case for Man of the People. Did you ever have a roommate at some point in your life that you were just dreadful to? I can't even remember this guy's name. I just remember we called him Weave, and his name was Steve.
Right.
But we called him Weave for reasons that escaped me 30 years ago.
So you were mean? Why were you mean to him?
Not mean, just we were talking.
No, he was mean. The stories he told.
How did we get started on this? And we were talking about how, living in a gross place.
Right.
And me and my roommates were terribly messy as
college students. Oh, sure. Santa Barbara, gross. That's what I think.
I mean, Juan knows how dirty IV can be.
No, he.
Right?
Yeah.
IV, Isla Vista, the little community that's attached to the school, is awful.
Well, he majored in accounting and minored in drugs.
Right, right. So with that in mind, these apartments are just dreadfully disgusting. And we got a random roommate 1 year, just that it was me, two of my buddies, and Weave.
Yeah.
That we didn't know Weave. We've kind of got thrown into the mix last minute. And he didn't understand that we were all slobs. He kind of wasn't. So he tried to outgross us along the way.
Really?
So he thought that I can just be dirtier than these guys. They'll realize that they're disgusting and we'll pick up after ourselves. Didn't work. Like, we just had piles of junk all over the floor all year long, and we didn't really fit in. I was just wondering if you guys had that moment with a guy that you lived with.
Didn't
connect.
When I first went to Bowling Green, I lived in the dorms, and I had a roommate who I didn't connect with at all. There was nothing wrong with him. He ran a lot. Like, he was a
exercise?
Yeah, for exercise. Like, I swear, it didn't matter what time of the day or night, he could say, I'm going for a run. It's like, it's weird. It's like midnight.
Is that code for something?
I don't know. But ultimately, I left at the mid-semester, and I went and lived in my fraternity house. So I only spent, he was my Weave. Yeah.
Ireland, did you have a Weave?
No, I had really good luck with roommates. I was in a fraternity, so I knew everybody before I only lived one quarter in outside of the fraternity.
Yeah, me too.
And once I got in, I knew everybody, so I had good luck.
Yeah, I only one Weave in my.
You never joined a fraternity?
No.
Slee, never joined a fraternity?
I rushed at San Diego State, and then about 2 weeks in, I'm like, probably going to stop doing this. So I was out after that.
What made you decide to stop?
It's a very interesting world. And I think San Diego State specifically, it just wasn't, I liked partying, but I liked partying under my own terms,
right,
with my own friends. It was very, you got to do this, you got to do that.
You weren't up for a tea dance with the DGs at Friday night?
I thought a tea dance was a euphemism. Like, I was just about, what's a tea dance? You actually mean a tea dance.
Didn't you ever have that? We'd have a tea with the DGs or a tea with the Alpha Zs.
So my wife was in a sorority, and she was very active in her sorority, so I had to attend a lot of these functions along the way, so the date parties and all of that. But that's the part that seems so awful to me.
It was actually fun.
Yeah, that's the part I like the most.
Yeah, I call that the good part.
This could have been the neighbor. The seeds that grew the neighbor distinct.
Yeah, exactly.
John, what fraternity were you in?
I was in Sigma Chi at UCLA, and I'm one of only five guys ever to be caught sleeping over at the Theta house. My girlfriend was a Theta, and you're not allowed to do that. Like, you get everybody.
Really?
And she was a year older than me, and so she was a senior, I was a junior, and they all had house mothers.
Yes.
And the way we got caught was I was walking out at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yep.
And I ran into the house mother, this woman named Mrs. Long, nicest woman in the world. She's probably in her 80s.
What did she say to you?
She said, "Good morning, John." And I said, "Hi, Mrs. Long. This is going to get me in trouble, isn't it?" And she goes, "John, I've been a house mother for 40 years. You're fine."
There you go.
Yeah, Mrs. Long was chill.
Did you really have that rule that you couldn't stay over at a sorority house?
They could stay over. No, the sororities had that rule. No guys could spend the night.
Huh. Yeah. We didn't have that rule.
It sounds like you didn't.
That I recall.
Yeah, no, the Susan's place had the same rule.
It's a brothel rule. It's because apparently if you have a certain amount of things, it's literally that's in the
bylaws.
Terms and conditions.
It's called a brothel.
It's by
rule?
Law in certain states that you can't have certain things. You can't have men come over because it's the brothel rule thing. It's really weird from being in a sorority in a sorority house. That was a thing why we couldn't have men in the house. It's weird.
So, Emily, you went to Virginia, right?
Yeah.
They have an honor code there, right?
Yes.
Do people take it seriously?
Yeah, UVA is weird. Traditions, honor code, stuff like that. UVA is very weird, yes.
Seriously? So, but if somebody violated the honor code, you'd be in support of them getting thrown out of school?
I don't care, but people at the school do care.
Like BYU care? Because they're turning each other.
Yeah, no, they're not. That's a hard and fast rule.
Yeah, it's like
Virginia's
that too.
Honor code is supposedly stricter than BYU's.
Virginia's honor code is very strict.
Like what's
a violation?
Yeah, what's a violation?
Anything. If you steal, if you cheat, if you do anything like that, it's...
If you lie.
If you lie, technically, it's like one strike, you're out. And so it's obviously people have to report themselves. But I don't have anybody that I knew that was a victim, or not a victim, but like had been kicked out due to the
honor code.
Kicked
out because of the honor code,
But the thing is, like, you could trust anything. You could leave your laptop in the library for 2 days and no one takes it. That's the thing.
I'd still take mine with me.
Yeah,
obviously I did, but I'm just, that's the, what everyone says. But yes, the honor code was serious.
All right, John, I got one for you real quick before we dip out of here.
Yeah.
Somebody, whoever loses tonight, is going to be in a position that they have not been in the playoffs, right? The Lakers will
down
have
0-1.
Down 0-1. Yeah. The Nuggets will have lost a game on their home floor for the first time. The Lakers will be chasing in a series for the first time. Is that meaningful at all for either of these two teams? Is there one person that this one means a little bit more for than the other, or is it equitable for both?
Means way more to Denver to win tonight. If Denver loses tonight, that's a big blow because it's in Denver. You know, they've been almost unbeatable at home. And if the Lakers come in here and take game one and basically take home court advantage from them, that's a big deal. If the Lakers lose, Denver just held serve.
Right.
So I think it's much more important to the Nuggets.
The Lakers, though, and yes, they are holding serve. The Lakers still have a chance to win game two, come back with the split, which is what they want.
Mm-hmm.
But they haven't been in that spot where it's, hey, this is getting a little bit more serious than just the normal pressure of a playoff series.
Right.
Because the last thing you want, leave 2-0. I know it's only holding serve, but now you're in that weird, hey, you got to win four of the next five to win this series, which I don't care who you're playing. Beating somebody 4 out of 5 times is a huge ask.
Right. The Lakers need to get one of these two. I just think tonight, the way I see this series going is Denver probably wins tonight. Lakers adjust, win game two. We come back 1-1. Lakers take care of business at home, and then they've got to,
And win in six.
I hope.
All right, screw it. Let's just start booking to Boston. What are we waiting for?
Yeah, let's go.
And what about Miami?
Have you talked to Power
Miami, Pro? By the way, ESPN Analytics says that Miami has a 3% chance of winning that series.
Yeah, well, almost
3%.
Almost 80% of the experts picking Denver. So, you know, what do we care?
3% seems low, but it doesn't seem that
low.
No,
it doesn't seem that low. I think Miami's the longest of shots.
Yeah, I mean, what are we talking? 10%? 20 tops?
Something like that, yeah. But ESPN, I've never seen a number that low, 3%.
If we got a Laker Heat final, is that the most unlikely finals in the history of the league?
Yes.
It's got to be.
Well,
right?
It's
7
versus
there.
An 8.
Yeah.
No 6, the highest a team has ever made the finals. Well, the Knicks made the finals that 1 year as an 8, right?
The only problem with that seeding, John, don't you agree? The only problem with that seeding, it's like, all right, yeah, Miami technically an 8, but they were in the finals cup. Last year, weren't they in the Eastern Conference finals last year?
Well, what we're seeing is nobody cares about the regular season.
Right,
admit,
You
know, and,
how do you
and
fix
this
that?
Further devalues the regular season, the idea that you could be the 13 seed a couple of weeks before the end and you wind up in the Western Conference
load
finals.
Load management, home court advantage doesn't mean what it used to manage. The players, especially the guys that have already won some of this stuff, don't seem to care about individual awards like MVP and things like that. How do you incentivize an 80-game season that takes 4.5 months to play if we're
when
seeing
you can
more
just
and more,
go on
it doesn't
a run
matter.
In the playoffs.
Well, does it change it if Denver wins this series and we say, hey, that probably
they
came
were the
down
one
to
seed played all year? Yeah.
Right. And what was Boston, the 2?
Yes.
Yeah, they were 2.
Yeah, if it's a 1 versus a 2, then the regular season gets kind of
yeah, if it goes chalk, right?
Super, super, duper crosstalk coming
super,
up later.
Super, super, mega playoff crosstalk.
That's coming up at 2:30. This was Super Crosstalk powered by In-N-Out Burger. That's what a hamburger is all about. We'll see you tomorrow.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Southland.
Yeah.
Travis, thanks for distracting everybody for the show beginning.
Yeah, come on, Travis.
It is Mason and Ireland, the biggest show on the radio with a Lakers game day Tuesday and a live imaging Tuesday, Jack. John Ireland is live from Denver. Mile High Slee, as we're calling it. Mile High Slee
is awesome, yeah.
John Ireland, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Chris. How are things?
Beautiful. We are pumped up. Coverage is coming so close. You will hear John Ireland calling the game at 5 p.m.
Morales
5:30
is wearing,
p.m.
by the way, his best jacket. This is my
this
favorite
is just a
jacket of all the jackets
sports
he
jacket.
Wears.
Good.
It's like
game one.
You know what it is? You're like
dress for the job you want. There's like 9 NBA coaching openings, Chris. You might get one.
You're like a ringleader.
How could I do any worse than Doc Rivers? By the way, Doc Rivers, it is a final!
Bam!
The
he's gutless and he's
hit
out.
The scrap
here. Yeah, damn.
Meanwhile.
Rough gig.
Mason and Ireland on a Lakers game day Tuesday right now.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Now, afternoon, Chris.
Good afternoon, everybody. Now, there might not. I know Ireland's going to be disappointed by this.
What?
There's a lot of meetings, and I got a big Keyshawn recording session, so there might not be a lot of lit today.
What?
The Nepo baby.
Nepo baby.
The Nepo baby.
Nepo.
Nepo baby.
No, you're calling
you.
Him Nepo
baby.
You're a Nepo
may
baby.
May not have a lot of action today.
You're nowhere without Mucho. You're nowhere.
I don't remember my dad being in sports radio, but hey, he's been great at it. You never know.
No, you know, it's like Tom Hanks said. It's the family business. It was the family business.
I didn't know about the bit till he told me on Mother's Day, and he said he loved it.
Yeah, no, he's like, well, we're all in the family business. It's good. You're in the family business as radio. I love that.
John, are you as hyped up as I am for Lakers Nuggets game one?
I think the series has the chance to go seven, Chris. So I don't want you to exhaust all your energy tonight. But yes, I think this is going to be a great series. They are very evenly matched. ESPN LA just sent out our social media team 16 minutes ago.
Okay.
The key shot from the last time the Nuggets and Lakers met. It was game two in the bubble.
Yep.
Anthony Davis hit a three when they were down by two with or they were down by one with 2 seconds to go. And so people think, well, the Lakers won that series 4-1. But you forget that AD doesn't hit that shot, and it would have been 1-1 after the first two games, and it's a completely different series.
Well, you know, KCP, who's now a Nugget, says they don't. He doesn't think they would have won the series had Anthony Davis not made that shot.
That's his opinion. Yeah, I think they probably still would have won, but the series. What KCP is right about is the series was much closer than the 4-1 would indicate. So, yeah, I'm ready. I think it's going to be great.
Yeah. Bergman, you ready?
Oh, yeah, I'm ready. Hell yeah.
Jorge, are you betting
Western
against?
Conference Finals,
oh, look
baby.
At that. Jorge.
I'm wearing my Rui shirt.
Yeah, wearing a Rui shirt.
That's
nice.
Right.
I like that.
Are you betting?
Mean you're betting?
No, you already put a lot of money in.
You could put more.
Nah, I'm
you're
good.
Allowed to put. I've got Lakers, $50,000 mythical dollars on.
Lakers plus 6.5.
Plus 6.5.
So you can do 70,000 mythical dollars on Lakers plus 6.5.
Or I can wait. Yeah, I can wait.
I just have a feeling about tonight, John. I just have a feeling.
What type of feeling? What do you think is going to happen?
I think the Lakers win tonight. I think the Lakers win tonight.
Guarantee!
Now, Barkley is a little over that. I don't guarantee. But I do think the Lakers win tonight and set the tone for the series. Travis pointed out, in both previous series for both teams, they won game one, which is the best way to start a series. I think the Lakers break him in game one.
Well, I hope you're right. I wouldn't be surprised. It means more to Denver than it does to the Lakers, so I wouldn't be surprised if Denver wins tonight and the Lakers win Thursday. But let's get one. Let's get one somehow. If we get the one tonight, then we get greedy. But it is a in my opinion, it's a much bigger game for the Nuggets than the Lakers. If the Lakers lose, the Nuggets just held court. If the Lakers win, wow. I mean, I think Denver could panic. I don't know.
Lakers in five, little.
Is she coming on tomorrow?
She is coming on tomorrow at 2:30.
She's coming on tomorrow.
So Super Sam.
Super Sam.
Samantha Duenas.
Yes.
Yeah.
Excellent. She nailed that. All right. Tonight we're unbelievably excited about it. I like, John? I like the feeling in the town right now. Everybody has started to get locked into what's going on. The barometer for this is my brother, Travis, who doesn't follow sports at all. Even he said this weekend something about the Lakers and trying to go to the Lakers and wanting to watch the Lakers and all that stuff. We're now at that point where the people who don't necessarily lock in during the regular season realize that this is a really big deal. Not just for this team, but for the town. And if you go and look at it, you sent some numbers today. I mean, the Lakers looking to make the finals for the 33rd time in franchise history. That's 75 years, 33 times in the Western Conference Finals. They basically have lived there for 75 years.
Right. And when they make it this far, they normally close the deal. For example, they've gone to the finals 10 more times than any other team. Boston's second with 22. And I think when LeBron gets to the conference finals, he's 10-1. So, normally if the Lakers get this far, they take care of business. But you still have to play the games and you still have to win them.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I think that the matchup is obviously – and sometimes you say a matchup is going to be especially important and then it winds up not – the matchup is AD and Jokic. The matchup is AD and Jokic. Jokic is so much better – in terms of offensive efficiency, when he's on the floor, Denver's so much better. The Lakers are like 20 points better in offensive efficiency when AD is on the floor. So in addition to being a dynamic defender, and he's certainly a better defender than Jokic, he also plays a role in terms of the offense and doing work at the other end. And in fact, the Lakers are 7-2 in the playoffs when AD goes for a double-double. I think I did the math right on that.
Yeah, I disagree with you in one way. I think you're right. Those are going to be the two most important players in the series, but I think they're going to cancel each other out.
Hmm.
I think that you know what you get with LeBron with AD.
Yep.
You know what you get with Jokic.
Yep.
I think those two cancel each other out, and somebody else decides the series. So, is it LeBron? Is it Jamal Murray?
Is it Aaron Gordon? Is it Michael Porter Jr.?
Is it Austin Reeves?
Right.
I think those guys are going to be really important. I think LeBron and AD are the two of every team remaining has like two all-stars on it.
Yes.
I would take LeBron and AD over any of the other three. I would take their all-stars over Tatum and Brown, over Jokic and Murray, over Butler and Adebayo. But it's the other guys that you get once you get past the big two that I think are going to be a really important part of this series.
Yeah, I agree. The supporting cast are, and I heard Sedano say, and maybe this is true, that he thinks that the Nuggets have better dynamic players down the bench, although they really only play seven guys.
Well, we're only playing eight now.
Yeah, so we're down to eight. I mean, they're down to seven or so.
Seven or
so
eight.
So it's really tight.
Eight. That guard. What's the guard that they play for just a few minutes?
Well, Christian Brown's yes. really good. That kid out of Kansas, that rookie. He's going to play a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think any of the other guys, like Thomas Bryant, is going to get in, or Tristan Thompson
eight.
As big men?
Denver plays eight. They play the starters, and then they play Bruce Brown, Christian Brown, and Jeff Green. After that, I'd be surprised to see anybody get
right.
major minutes.
And
so no Thomas Bryant to guard AD?
We're at eight or nine.
Well, if you count Lonnie Walker.
Who I think you got to now, right?
He makes eight. And if you count Wenyen Gabriel, who's our backup center, he would be nine.
So right, they'll see minutes.
You got the starters plus Schroeder, Hachimura, and Lonnie Walker. And then Gabriel if you want to count nine.
So Bergman has this theory. He says use...
This is my theory. Don't tell me what my theory is.
No, I'm telling you. I'm allowed to tell you what your theory is because you told me what your theory was a little bit earlier. So now
today?
I'm giving your theory back. Yeah.
Okay.
The idea that guys like Tristan Thompson would be in the game just to use their fouls on Jokic.
So I was saying that would not be a good idea because Jokic hits his free throws so very well that it wouldn't make any sense.
So
I just
you're flip-flopping. Now that's not a good theory.
You're making my theory up for me. I don't even know what you're saying. So no, I was asking John whether he thought those guys would get in, especially on both sides, because guys like Thomas Bryant.
Well, it's not a dumb question because in 2020, we had 18 fouls to throw at Jokic.
Right.
We had JaVale McGee, Dwight Howard, and AD. Now we don't even have a backup center. Mo Bamba isn't even here.
Yep.
So the backup center is really LeBron or Wenyen Gabriel if you bring him in. But Greg's right. You don't want to foul Jokic because he makes free throws all the time. But you do want to muscle him. You do want to suffocate him. And normally AD can do that, but I think what you're going to see is almost a game of cat and mouse. When Jokic comes out of the game, AD's going to come out.
Right.
And when he goes back in, AD's going to follow him right back into the game.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, because both of them have so much better offensive efficiency and defensive efficiency when those guys are on the floor. So you're saying they won't stagger them, that when Jokic is out, AD will be out and vice versa.
I think so. And the other thing is, if either one of them gets in foul trouble, it's a huge advantage for the other team because there just aren't any backups for those two guys.
Right.
You know, we don't have Dwight Howard or JaVale McGee to stick in there. So keep an eye on the fouls for both Jokic and AD.
Hey, question. Are we on YouTube today?
We are on
YouTube.
We are.
It's just me sitting here on YouTube.
Yeah.
Just
well, there's Jorge. The there's me.
You guys are on. Yeah. And YouTube.
I know, the little people.
Our live stream is presented by LAFD. Go to joinlafd.org for more information. We are getting you ready for game one of the Western Conference Finals, the Los Angeles Lakers versus the Denver Nuggets. And by the way, at 2:30, we're doing something called Super Mega Playoff Crosstalk. And it'll be Shidano and Cap and me and Ireland will get to the arena and do the stuff he needs to do beforehand. We really got Denver covered, don't we? Sleaze there. Shidano's there. You're there.
Well, that's what happens when you make the Final Four.
Exactly.
It becomes a big deal.
All right, coming up. Oh, and we got Bobcat coming up. Bobcat. What's up, fool?
Bobcat doesn't exist anymore, Mace.
We got What's Up, Fool coming up, and we're going to do a game of games. It's my game today, so all that stuff is coming up for you in a mini hour and a half, Mason and Ireland. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Smile, Mace. Smile.
Oh, no. The great Gino Minnelli.
Are you kidding? This is Hall & Oates, you dope.
Yeah, dope. Live Imaging Tuesday on, more importantly, a Lakers Game Day Tuesday, yeah, thanks to our friends at Michelob Ultra. We got one more hour of Johnny I. Then it is, what'd you call it?
Super duper mega playoff crosstalk.
I like you working in the mega. We should have done that. But super playoff crosstalk at 2:30. Shitano, Cappy, Mace, and one Keyshawn Johnson's going to drop by,
nice,
maybe around 3:45.
Gee, wow.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
It is exciting.
Yeah, yeah. By the way.
Yes.
What do you think of Succession on Sunday? We're in...
No, you guys already did it yesterday, so you're
no,
fine.
No, we didn't give it away.
Yes, you did.
We didn't give it away.
I was listening.
Oh, I didn't give it away.
You did a little bit.
A little. What did you think?
I love Shiv, much like John does, for all the same reasons, but I loved watching her get carved apart
on
Sunday.
She really was, yeah.
Oh,
I see, Chris, I think she's make. I think these last two episodes should just basically be called Shiv's Revenge. I think she's coming for her brothers, and she's going to take them out at the knees.
Probably.
Well, it's basically her and Mattson versus the brothers.
Right. I also like that they got Mattson back to just being cold. Like, him being goofy and off the wall wasn't very entertaining.
Yeah.
I liked him at the end of last season where he's this, you know, he's a little aloof, but he's cold and stuff. And then him,
Mace,
like,
was that the end of Connor? Have we seen the last?
I think that was his farewell. I think that was his farewell.
It's a final?
Yeah, it's a final. I think he's done for the series.
All right, well, there's your Succession minute.
Yeah, there's some Succession for you. Oh, I did not watch Ted Lasso. Are you a Ted Lasso guy?
I only like one scene. The only scene I've ever seen. It's the scene that we've used it at a lot of meetings now recently in the Good Karma Brands world. It's don't be judgmental. Be what's the scene? Be curious. That scene when they're playing darts,
right?
It made me cry.
Oh, dude!
But that's the only scene I've ever seen of Ted Lasso.
Yeah.
By the way, what's up with Bergman's mom? I heard that yesterday briefly.
Oh, Bergman's mom
has got it going on.
She's a beautiful lady. She does not look her age.
Beautiful.
And she, as John said, she was wearing very fun pants in the picture that was taken.
Yeah,
right?
On Sunday, on Mother's Day.
And so...
What'd you get your mom for Mother's Day?
Flowers.
That's it?
That's nice.
Yeah, yeah, me too. Nothing special. We both kind of took the easy road, didn't we?
Flowers are golden. I went out and I can't go wrong with flowers.
I went to the store and picked the flowers. I didn't actually just... go to a grocery store.
You didn't get them from Books.
No, wait, I didn't
you
go to
picked the flowers?
Well, I didn't actually pick them, but like, I went to a store and I went to and I picked the ones that I wanted and I put them all together in a bouquet.
No, oh, that's
you guys
nice.
Know what he's saying. Come on.
So you made your own bouquet?
Yes.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes. Greg, thank you, Jorge. You know what I'm saying.
Like a florist over there.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I went to a shop.
I could see Bergman being a florist. Like,
oh, that would be a good job.
Like, what was the character in Three's Company? She was a florist.
Who was it? Janet?
Janet.
Yeah, Janet was a florist.
Bergman's our own Janet.
Joyce DeWitt.
I don't even know who that is.
Three's Company.
Yeah, Three's Company.
I know Three's Company.
Greg,
I don't know who
Three's
Joyce
Company is.
I know Three's Company. I don't know who
Joyce
is.
Have you
DeWitt
been to the Regal Beagle?
No.
Do you know who Joyce...
What is this, from like the 60s?
Joyce DeWitt.
No, what? Late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah, yeah.
Joyce DeWitt. Okay, this is random. Joyce DeWitt went to Ball State University. She was an improv troupe. You know who... In an improv troupe. Do you know who else was in it?
David Letterman.
David Letterman, exactly. David Letterman and Joyce DeWitt.
I know Ball State.
You know your Ball State history?
There's a lot. I worked with a guy who went to Ball State with all of them, too, so that's
all
why.
Right, good.
But see, Bergman, here's the thing. This is why the whole, like, oh, that's an old show. That played in syndication through our childhood every day on Channel 11.
I watched the show.
It's still
I
on.
Don't know who Joyce DeWitt is.
Well, you know what you are,
She's
then?
The girl who
gutless.
Janet.
You gutless, gutless!
Joyce DeWitt, it's a final!
No, I don't think so.
No, it was her career.
Oh, she was probably retired.
I don't know
that,
what she's done.
That syndication money.
Oh, she's probably sitting on syndication
money.
Come
on, Jack.
Right.
Don't be calling it early.
Yeah.
All right, Mason and Ireland continues on Lakers Game Day Tuesday right now.
All right. So, Ireland, take us through your night last night. Did you have a fancy dinner with fancy people? Did you have the dinner that I suggested with Jeannie and Rob?
No. I went to a place called Perry's that was very good.
What'd they serve?
Steakhouse and Grill, where they claimed to have the world's greatest pork chop. And as you know, that's very important to me.
Yes.
I could not finish it. It was so good.
It was so good.
It was gigantic. I have half of it sitting in front of me here in my hotel suite.
So does it stack up as the greatest pork chop you've ever eaten?
It is not as good as J.D. Hoyt's in Minneapolis, but it's in the top five. It's very good.
Yeah.
And so then tonight we have the game.
Yes, of course.
And then we'll have dinner after. And then tomorrow night, Michael is hosting a dinner.
Oh, he is.
Yes.
Now, are Jeannie and Rob going to go?
No.
Oh, okay.
Brad Turner, me, Sedano, Trudell, few selected
Slee?
Others. I don't think Slee's on the list.
Wow. Slee is in debt. You're not going to invite, you're inviting Shadano and not Slee?
I'm not inviting anybody. It's Michael's dinner.
Well, MT, this is, I mean, it's his pregame partner. He's got to invite Slee.
Oh, we'll see.
Mile High Slee, which is a fantastic nickname. Mile High Slee.
Okay, so I think there are 8 spots, okay?
Yes.
Hey, Mace, I think I got something.
You're going to have to cut somebody.
Okay, so who do we cut?
So it's Michael's 1, I'm 2, Michael's brother Andy is 3.
Okay, can't cut him.
Brad Turner's 4.
Yep.
Sedano is 5.
Can't cut him.
Trudell is 6.
Ooh.
I don't know who 7 and 8 are. 7 and 8 aren't on this list, so maybe there is room for Slee. I'll find out.
Yeah, if you got to bounce somebody, I think it's Trudell.
No, he won't put Trudell for Slee.
What about Brad Turner?
No, he won't. He'll never
bounce. No, Brad. BT, I mean, come on.
McMenamin would be ahead of others, too.
McMenamin. So, Ireland, I would imagine for you, as the play-by-play guy, this is like the... I want to try describe this right away. It's like the reward for all the games you did all year long. Now you get to do these crazy high-leverage games. Is that right?
Yeah, sort of. I mean, all these playoff games have been kind of icing on the cake. Remember, we started 2-10.
I know.
I thought I was going to be done in the middle of April. So I look at this as like a huge, like I'm riding this killer wave and I'm surfing and I'm just going to ride it until it bucks me.
You know, this run is so improbable. You talked about it yesterday, how improbable it is. It's also, I mean, if the Lakers were able to get to the finals, if they're able to win this series, is that LeBron's, how would you describe it?
Crowning achievement.
Crowning achievement to take a team that started out 2-10 and get them to the finals?
Well, he took a team to the finals when he was in Cleveland. They ended up getting swept by the Spurs. And literally, there was no one on that team besides him.
Right.
I think that's the greatest job he's ever done of putting a team on his back and getting it to the finals. This would be second to that. This team has more talent than that team did. You know, he didn't have an Anthony Davis. He didn't have an Austin Reeves.
Right.
He didn't have a D'Angelo Russell. This team is better than that Cleveland team. This team, Mace, and I want Laker fans to get their heads around this. This team could win the title. They're good enough to win the whole thing. I don't think LeBron's team back in Cleveland was.
Yep.
They were never going to get past San Antonio. This team, and I know they still have to play Denver, and I know they still have to play either Boston or Miami, but they're good enough. The way they're playing defense with LeBron and AD, they can win the whole thing. So I'm
that's crazy.
I have a quiet confidence that they're going to take care of business here and that they're going to get back to the finals, and then we'll just see what happens.
Bergman says this is LeBron, this could be his opus.
His
I don't know
opus.
That word actually.
Remember,
well,
like
an
Mr.
opus, an opus normally.
Means the end, doesn't it?
Well, no, it means your life's work, like your greatest achievement.
Oh,
Mr. Holland's Opus.
Mr. Remember? Holland's Opus, right. Yeah. Play the Sunset. That's one of John's favorite movies. You cried at that.
I love that movie.
Richard Dreyfuss, Play the Sunset. Alicia Witt was the actress.
Thomas Howard.
Thomas Howard,
player got killed in the war.
Exactly. Yeah. No, great movie. But yeah, you're right. It would be LeBron's Opus. Now, Opus suggests it's over, which it's not. Why?
I don't think it does.
No, Opus doesn't suggest it's over. Like, I would say Robert De Niro's Opus was probably Godfather 2. That's maybe a better way of putting this is like, do you guys ever listen to the Rewatchables on The Ringer? They do a thing on the Rewatchables called Apex Mountain.
Yeah, right.
Is this the highest point of your career? Like, is this the best you're ever going to be? Would this be Apex Mountain for LeBron if he pulls it off? 38 years old, leading a team that was once 2-10 to the title. It would be his 5th. Would that be his most impressive title? Maybe, because remember he had the Heatles in Miami.
Right. Had a lot of help.
And he had Kyrie with him in Cleveland.
Yep.
And he had AD with him in the bubble. But this is, it could be. It could be.
Yeah, I mean, started out 2-10 is the most amazing thing. Started out 2-10. And I've never been wronger about anything is when I said, yeah, just break it up. They're 2-10. Start over, trade AD, get what you can, all that stuff. Completely wrong. And the guy that deserves a lot of credit, I think the most credit at this point, is Rob Pelinka, who somehow made all this stuff happen at the trade deadline. and took a team that was really ordinary and on the outside looking in to become a contender for a championship is just an astounding achievement.
It is, but I think if Rob was here with us online, he would say, I just put the pieces in place. LeBron and AD carried the team in. You know, they had to, the team had to buy into it. Rob reshuffled the deck, and he deserves an immense amount of credit for that. But I think anybody in the front office would tell you, we just put the guys in position.
Right.
They did it. Rob would credit the coaches, the coaching staff, LeBron, AD, Austin Reeves, all these guys. So,
but he got the right pieces.
Right. And don't you think to a certain degree he got rid of the wrong ones?
Oh, yeah.
And that has as much
Pat
to do
Bev
with this
as anything? Pat Bev and Russell Westbrook were...
Because Pat Bev and Russ are so personality-driven.
Yep.
They kind of take over your locker room. And I think by getting them out and putting Austin Reeves into the starting lineup, kind of giving the keys to the car back to LeBron.
Yes.
I think that all has to do with why they've been so good.
And I'll tell you another thing that's interesting is, actually, we'll hold this. What's up, fool, is coming up next, brought to you by Dos Hombres. It's a really mini, fast-moving
show. Yeah, so this is kind of a crazy
here.
Show. We're going to do What's Up, Fool. Then we'll do a 2 o'clock call of the day.
Yep.
Then we'll do Game of Games. It's your game today, Mace.
Yes, it is my game. It is about Denver.
I'm heading to the arena.
Yep.
And then Sedano, who's already over there.
Yep.
And Cappy will join you for as long as you're going to hang around until 4, and then Slee takes over at 4.
Yes, Mile High Slee takes over at 4. It is a big day, and we are getting you ready for it. Game 1 Western Conference Finals coming up next for you is What's Up, Fool? Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, what's up, fool time? Take it away, Bergman.
Thanks a lot, Mace. Was that happy enough for you and upbeat enough?
It was very, very Lindsay.
Then it'd have to be like a voice. Like, thanks, so Mace.
Yeah, do it different.
Okay, no, I don't want to do it different. All right, we're going to keep going. All right, Doc Rivers, as you guys talked about earlier today, was fired today by the Philadelphia 76ers, and rightfully so. I wanted you guys to... why are you waving at, Mace?
I'm waving at Jorge.
Oh, why are we waving?
Okay. Yeah, go ahead, just do your thing.
All right, I'll keep doing my thing.
Yeah, keep doing your thing.
Well, you're waving at me. I don't know what that means. Yeah. So has there ever been a head coach that is so revered as a good coach but is actually pretty terrible, especially in the postseason, John?
I don't think Doc's a terrible coach. Oh, yeah, why do you think he's terrible?
Yeah, no, Bourbon, he told me how he's going to read this question earlier. I'm like, sure, bring it.
Well, because he makes zero adjustments. He loses. He has lost, like you guys have said, 11 game sevens. He has lost 3 times when leading 3-1. He had a 3-2 series lead and lost at home.
Yikes.
Just this right here. I mean, we can keep
going. We've got
his
whole resume.
Greg, in order to lose 11 game sevens, you have to get to the game sevens. When he took over the Clippers, they were just a complete dumpster fire.
But he never even got into the finals.
Never got into the conference finals.
Yeah, never got into the finals. Exactly.
But here's the thing. They were, I mean, you guys talk about he never even got into the finals. They never could even win 30 games.
Right, right.
I mean,
well, then they got DeAndre Jordan and Chris Paul.
Right, so then he goes to Philadelphia, and he has that mess with Ben Simmons and that whole dumpster fire there. And then he turns them around there. Doc Rivers might not be the best coach in the NBA, but he's going to the Hall of Fame, Greg. And you're
he
talking.
Shouldn't.
You're. What are you talking
well,
about?
No, he should go to the Hall of
Why?
Fame.
Why? He hasn't
based
done
on his
anything.
Performance
he's
and
got a
and
thousand
an NBA
wins.
Title.
He's got all these wins. Okay, let's look at the teams that he had. He had the in Boston when they won that championship over the Lakers. They had a top four. They had a big four in that situation. Paul Pierce. And Kevin Garnett and Rajon Rondo and Ray Allen.
Yeah, okay, so you're talking about players. Here's the thing. I mean, you couldn't know in Game 7 that Joel Embiid was going to be a non-factor and James Harden was going to score 8 points.
How about
I mean,
game
honestly,
plan
you
and move
put,
Joel Embiid away from the 3-point
the blame
line and move
these,
him into the middle
on
of the paint.
These players. These are big-time
yeah, I'm with
superstar
Mace.
Players.
I think for some reason, Doc Rivers stole a girl from you somewhere.
Yeah,
in
what
life,
happened?
And you have it out
good,
for Doc Rivers.
Did Doc Rivers take your dog? What happened?
No, he's just not a good head coach.
Say your question one more time, because I love how loaded it is. Go ahead.
It's extremely loaded.
Yeah, it is very loaded. Go ahead.
I just don't believe in Doc Rivers. Has there ever been a head coach that is so revered as a good coach but is actually pretty terrible, especially in the postseason?
Yeah. That is such a loaded question.
It's the most loaded question I think you've ever asked.
He told me earlier, I'm like, all right, go with it.
I mean, I don't know what Doc Rivers did to you, but he's better. He's a top 10 coach in the NBA.
Oof, I don't know.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Because people like
he would not be my choice. I mean, of the guys that are out there, he would not be my choice. By the way, Mike D'Antoni is fascinating. All I would do is I'd go to James Harden and I'd say, okay, which guy is going to keep you here? Which guy is going to make you happy?
If they get D'Antoni in Philadelphia, that'll be Daryl and D'Antoni with Harden again. And D'Antoni doesn't like post players.
Right.
I don't know what.
Remember
the
his first press conference, we had Dwight Howard and Pau Gasol. And he said the post play is the least efficient play in basketball.
So I don't know how that fits, but we like Daryl. Yep. So let's see what Daryl's got up his sleeve.
And Mike D'Antoni? Completely overrated as a head coach.
Honestly, in the history of basketball, every game we watch now is part of D'Antoni's concept. Everybody's running what D'Antoni originally invented to run.
He created it, sure, but everything else has been terrible. He's terrible at adjustments. He's terrible at putting together lineups.
Greg,
what do
you think? What do you think of Monty Williams?
Monty Williams, I think, is a really good coach.
So why did he get fired?
Well, that's a KD thing.
What do you think of Mike Budenholzer?
I thought Mike Budenholzer was... I didn't understand why they fired him. I loved Frank Vogel, too. I didn't think they should have fired him.
Right, so you just like coaches that get fired except for Doc.
Well, he just got fired.
Doc and D'Antoni. You don't like
Doc
and D'Antoni.
Doc got fired everywhere he goes, he gets fired.
They're on your bad list. Doc and D'Antoni.
Yeah, those two are on the bad
list. And Dave Roberts. He doesn't like
Dave
Roberts.
No, I like Dave Roberts.
He's okay with Dave
Roberts. I have no problem with Dave Roberts.
I watch the Daily Blue Review, and he has nothing bad to say about
I have nothing bad to say about Dave Roberts. Yeah. That those two, I just don't think are very good head coaches.
Okay.
What's that, fool?
Obviously. Right,
point made.
All right, so so I was at the Dodgers game last night, and I'm probably crazy for never noticing this.
Did you stay for the Trace Thompson walk-off?
I was not there at that
the
point.
The walk-off
that
walk?
It was 11 o'clock at night, John. I was not at
the wasn't
game
that
yet.
In the 12th inning?
I fell asleep, unfortunately.
So, Greg,
I was
basically what you're saying is you pulled a Mason.
Well, yeah, I left in the top of the ninth when
Mason
Phillips came up.
Mason would have arrived in the fifth and then left in the top.
I was there an hour before, stayed
You've
all the way
to the top of
the ninth.
You've given me such a bad rap when it comes to Dodger games. I always stayed in the end of Dodger games.
You do show up in the fifth. So I was at the top.
Because I got to stop at Quesada's on my way in.
Oh, sure.
Okay. All right, so I'm probably
up into a parking lot.
I may be the only one that's never noticed this, but I was watching we were doing the seventh inning stretch. Or no, sorry, it was the national anthem. And multiple times in the national anthem, there are question marks, including at the very end, and it says, "and the home of the brave," question mark.
No, it doesn't.
It absolutely does.
Well, maybe it does there, but it doesn't in real life. Francis Scott Key did not write a song with question marks.
He absolutely did. Why is there question marks in that? There was multiple
questions.
For
the land of the free and the home of the brave? Is that the way it is?
By the way, I just pulled it up.
Yeah.
And Greg is right. There are question marks.
Where are the question marks?
Or the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming? Yeah. So you know what I think happened? Somebody in the 200-year history of this song wrote it with question marks, and nobody ever corrected it.
Yeah, that is so weird.
On the board, while the national anthem is being sung, there are question marks. And it's in the song.
Brave?
Mason, you performed it. Did you ever do it with question
marks? No, and you know what? The great thing about doing the anthem at Dodger Stadium is they put the words on the scoreboard.
Right, like I said.
When I did it at an Angels game, you were just like, when I did it at a Kings game, you're just loose. You're loose with the lyrics. Dodgers was the easiest anthem to sing, but I never sang the question marks. I don't think the question marks would necessarily be
Wikipedia, which is, of course, never wrong, question marks.
Yeah,
it's in there. I don't understand why there are question marks to the home of the brave.
It sounds like Francis Scott Key wrote the song, but he just wasn't that sure about it.
I thought it was crazy that I was the only one that didn't know this.
I don't know. Maybe this is the national anthem.
Okay, Mace, you want to get your $100 back? Next time you sing the anthem, do it with question
marks.
There
you go. I'm waiting for the Angels to invite me again.
Well, we've been so positive about Angels ownership. I'm sure that's coming in a week.
I'm sure Artie would love to have me out there. It would turn me a little bit.
Would you ask Artie to sell the team right when you get done?
Yes, I would. Yeah. Yes, I would. Sell the team? Question mark. Sell the team?
What's
that, foo? Okay, so Martha Stewart made history with the Sports Illustrated swimsuit cover at the age of 81.
Yeah.
How do you guys feel about Martha Stewart posing for the swimsuit issue?
Good for her. Like we said about Bergman's mom, if you got fun pants and you got the look, go for it.
Yeah, I'm all for this. I actually think Martha Stewart has become one of the coolest old ladies around.
She's really everything. Is. Skecher, everything.
Yeah, I mean, she's Skechers, exactly. She's hanging out with Snoop all the time. I saw Snoop and her at a box at the Super Bowl. They actually are legit friends.
Well, they did a podcast together.
Homies. Yeah. Yeah, they're homies. I think this is great. The only thing, I thought that they were going to put, they should next year maybe put Dolly Parton on the cover, who's 80 and was on it when she was 30. That would be a good choice for the swimsuit. But yeah, I'm all for Martha Stewart. I think she's the coolest old lady there is.
Yeah, nothing. I have zero issue with Martha Stewart being on the cover. Go, you go, girl.
That was clean. That was clean.
That was clean, too. You go, girl.
What's up, fool? What's up, fool?
All right, so Stetson Bennett won two national championships with Georgia and is now on the Los Angeles Rams. He started school in 2017 and left in 2023. Hmm. He has still not graduated. Do you have any issue with Bennett not graduating despite being in school for 7 years?
Shout out to the great Vic Karadakis, my big brother at UCLA. 6 years of college.
Yep.
And I always used to say he's the only one who did it right. College was the most fun time of my life, Mace. If I could have stretched it to 6 or 7 years, I would have done it. I applaud Stetson Bennett. My parents cut me off after 4 years, so I had to get out in four.
Yep.
But if you can stretch it to 6, or in this case, 7, more power to you.
I think every fraternity had that one guy who's hung around for a very long time. Mark Essig was our guy, and I think he was like 25 by the time he left.
Did he graduate,
Bowling
though?
Green. I believe he did graduate.
Yeah, Stetson Bennett.
But it was not a priority. It's interesting that... So this is one of those things where a lot of guys, like I remember I used to work with Brandon Hancock. You remember Brandon Hancock?
Of course.
So he went to USC for 6 years. He got his bachelor's and his master's while he was there. So he took advantage of being there for as long as he was. Stetson Bennett clearly is focused on football and being the future of the Los Angeles Rams, so I understand. I would still go back and get that degree. Like, I've told this story before, but I left Bowling Green in 87, never got my degree. I was 3 credits short, and about 5 years later, I was like, it was nagging at me because everybody assumed that I'd finished my degree. So I went back and got it, those last 3 credits, just so I could complete it and say I graduated from college, because I was the first person in my family to do it. So it was important. So I went back and got those 3 credits. But Stetson Bennett obviously is focused on football. I mean, it's ridiculous. I don't know how many classes you can take without adding up to some kind of degree.
Apparently one at a time.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely crazy.
What's up, fool?
It's time to go, unless you want to do one more.
Do one more!
Do one more! All right. I was also, again, another story from last night's Dodger game.
It's a long break.
I was with some friends at the game, and in the exact same section as I was, in one row in front of me, was a completely different set of friends. We are all close, and there was no setup that we were supposed to be there at the same time.
You just accidentally wound up at the same place.
Accidentally ended up in the exact same section, one row in front of the other.
Yeah.
It was crazy. So where's the weirdest place you have ever ran into one of your closest friends?
All right, I've got a good story about this. So my college roommate is from Northern California, and he was dating this girl. It was getting pretty serious. And I flew up there. I was up there for a Laker game, and this was like 20, 25 years ago. And so he's telling me about this girl, and it's getting serious. And he goes, yeah, she had another boyfriend when I met her, but then she broke up with him, and now we've been going out for about 3 months, and it's going pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
And we go to a Giants-Dodgers game, and we get there, and in the section next to us is that girl with the guy.
Oh.
And literally, like, I she was just busted red-handed. And,
yeah.
You know, he had told her it was over and blah, blah, blah. And that should have been a precursor, because they went on to get married. My friend and this girl went on to get married, and now they're divorced.
They're divorced,
I guess he should have paid more attention to that story.
I mean, I remember, so my ex had a really good friend, and I wasn't really my friend. I knew him, but wasn't really my friend, and we split up, and I went to Greece on a trip. This is when I was single and having a lot of fun. I went to Greece, and I'm in Mykonos on the island, and look up, and there's Joey. And I'm like, all of a sudden we ran with Joey. I ran with Joey for years after that because I met him. I remember one time I was at a fraternity party. A lot of fraternity talk today. A fraternity party, and this girl said, I went to John Carroll. And I said, oh, yeah? Do you know Greg Finnan? Jokingly, right? I'm like, there's no possible way. She says, that's my boyfriend. I'm like, oh, that's kind of creepy. So there are moments like that where, I mean, don't you think it means something that these people happen to be in your section?
Yeah, it was so weird. It was fun. It was actually, it made the game much more exciting.
When we went to the Rose Bowl this year for the USC-UCLA game, row behind us, Cody from our social media staff just
crazy.
Happened to be there. Yeah, so it's interesting when that happens. All right,
what's that, Foo?
Yeah, it's time to go.
All right.
All right, 2 o'clock call of the day. Make it a good one.
Yeah, I mean, this is the day. I mean, if you've been saving up for a call, today is the day to let her rip. Phones have been ringing all afternoon long, so 877-710-ESPN, still a couple of lines. We're looking for your best take on the series. A lot of people, by the way, on our YouTube stream, upset about the Corgi. The Corgi, who was wrong about the Lakers in this last series, is now picking Denver in six, so the Corgi... I think it's actually good.
If the Corgi's on a losing streak, maybe that'll bode well for us.
The Corgi is getting just bashed on our YouTube stream, by the way, which is brought to you by LAFD. Go to joinlafd.org for more information. 2 o'clock call of the day, and then Game of Games, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.